when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we have two people coming on tonight, right now in this hour, and I can tell you flat out, I've loved them so much. I really do. They're the prototype, what I consider, what God intended to, a white Southern Christian. You could find no one better than these two people coming on, and thank God for them. I owe them a great debt. You people out there owe them a debt. For what they do, the work they do day in and day out, week in, week out. They come in here and they do their best to educate our young people, to educate our older people who have came up through a bad public school system and don't know a lot of these things. And also, they try to instill courage and honesty and a Christ-like spirit in you. And I thank God for them. They inspire me every day. And with that, I'm going to shut up. By the way, this is Charlottesville Month. We'll talk more about that the third hour, and next week will be Charlottesville for 3 hours. But we have the two wonderful people on here. We're going to turn this program over to. I'm just going to bring them in and out of the breaks. It's our big sister, Nancy Hitt, who's she is a Southern treasure. She really is. And we also have the prototype Southern agrarian working farmer gentleman, Rand Owen. So take it away, Sister Nancy. Bring us in. I'm just bringing y'all in and out of the breaks. This hour belongs to you and Brother Rand. Go ahead, Sister.
I'll just start out by giving a brief outline of a couple things I have. I have made it a habit, certainly way back in the old times, I was writing to white prisoners, and I received two letters recently that I want to mention. And I want to go back to something that you and Dr. Hill were talking about, the banning of the New Testament. I'm going to say that it has been banned in Israel. And, of course, they're trying to stop the teaching of the New Testament or any kind of Christian teaching. Unfortunately, so many Christians visit there, they do not realize the animosity that exists, the hatred that exists against Christians. I even sent you all, I know I've been inundating you all with some, there's shorts that I've been receiving from Israel about, there was a German abbot, I think he was an abbot, or he was a German Catholic priest, and he had a big cross on around his neck, and the Israelis told him, this Israeli female said he had to take it off, and he said no, that was part of his daily attire. What I'm getting at is, who knows this? I mean, the Christian Zionists are bowing down to the Jews, where the Jews are kicking their butt. Anyway, I've got some tar and feathering to do, and I've got some white heroes. I've been going through a book called The Reconstruction by Robert Self Henry, which is absolutely turns your stomach. And I did want to mention this. Alfred Schaefer was to turn himself into another 6 months in a German prison on August the 3rd, but he did not do it. And I know that Monica was on Liberty Radio earlier today. I didn't have a chance to listen, but some of our listeners may be interested in the archives to find out what Monica is updating about her brother. And I'll turn it back to Rand for his ideas.
As far as banning the New Testament and certain speech, I would say that unofficially, that it's already kind of been banned, even in small town churches. I mean, how many preachers do you think they really are around that really get in there and preach about the ones that are described in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9? I doubt very many.
Well, you know, Buddy just sent me something. Happened in a small town. Maybe you all got it too.
Wisconsin.
In Watertown, Wisconsin, it's only a population of 23,000. There was a young Christian man praying at a gay event. Maybe it was a parade or it was a drag queen parade or event, and then he was arrested. I mean, this is going to continue. The praying Christian is considered of more danger to our young people than perverted men who are passing themselves off as women and dressed in garish outfits. This is actually what it's come to.
Yeah, because hardcore believing Christians, they burn those that spoke of in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 when they didn't get too close to them. I mean, that's who they want to. That's who they're out to destroy. Ultimately, is the white Christians. They want to dilute our bloodline. They do not want us to have any kind of identity. That's why they're letting our whole country be overrun with people that really shouldn't be here. For whatever argument that you might have for them being here, they really shouldn't be. Especially just to be able to walk right across the border. Could you imagine, and this is a little bit of a rabbit trail, could you imagine, let's just take the state of Alabama, setting up checkpoints at every entry into the state of Alabama, and if nothing else, just simply turned away people that did not have a valid driver license. Just say, hey, you don't have a valid driver license, you can't drive through the state of Alabama. I mean, would all be by laws that are already on the book, right? I mean, that wouldn't be really hard to do. That wouldn't be coming up with something real radical, you know, that the left could scream too much about. Of course, they would scream about it, but because they'd say it's discrimination, blah, 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 you know, what else they'd say. But just imagine, just by simply doing that, how things could change real quickly, real quick, you know. So, if I could, while I got the floor for a second, Miss Nancy, just real quick, as you said, about some of the things that Dr. Hill said. And, you know, one thing that I had made a little note of in the first hour is that it's no doubt that when you tune into certain podcasts and different things, even the mainstream now, with even people like Mark Levine, and I certainly don't care that much about Mark Levine, but here recently he's got a couple of things right. You got people like that Colonel Douglas McGregor. These people are saying things, and I'm speaking about the league also. These people are saying things now in the mainstream that we in the league have been saying, and that I have been hearing from being around in the league for now close to 25 years, for that long a time. But and you're hearing these things echoed and repeated in the mainstream now, that a lot of people, a lot more smarter than me, have been saying for a long, long time. Now, I don't know exactly what that all adds up to and what that means, but it's got to be a sign of more and more people waking up. But something that Eddie had kind of put on our brain in the first hour was about maybe this whole thing with Trump being kind of a all-arranged setup thing, and I don't want to go way out, you know, too far on the fringe with this, but let's just think about Trump, and I think this is what Eddie was talking about, Trump being kind of the holding card And, you know, people like us, like-minded, we're taking this time and we're saying, well, more people's waking up, more people's waking up, more people's coming over our side. And then all of a sudden, you know, because I think they're about finished with Biden. I think Biden's on his way out. I think the left wad him up and throw him in the garbage can. But, you know, and then all of a sudden Trump, you know, the new king, the king of the Jews, they've already crowned him.
Right.
And Trump steps in, and think about how many of our people, so to speak, that he marches away with. Is that kind of what you were talking about, Eddie?
You're absolutely right. I'm just wondering if the whole thing, I mean, like you say, I don't know, I may be going out there too far, but he keeps surviving. He hasn't gone to prison yet, he being Trump. And they did crown him recently as the king of Israel. And people would say, might say this, what it seems an oddity is that in Israel, they seem to really like Trump. Some of them, I guess, almost worship him. But here in the United States, the Jews in the United States seem to hate him. I just wonder if we're being whipsawed back and forth. But I also like to point out something.
Don't they support both sides? I mean, I think that's what's really happening. I think the Jews are, some of them are backing Trump, and some of them are backing Biden. And, you know, I think this is the way that they control us. If either side wins, they win.
They bought both sides, absolutely. And we'll talk about that as soon as we come back from this break. Take a quick break, y'all. We'll talk about Palestinian Christians when we come back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Here, Blood River Radio family, coming back in Sister Nancy and Rand. They're going to go into the fact that in our low IQ Southern Baptist, United Presbyterian, United Methodist, that you just worship these so-called Ashkenazi Jews in Israel. Look at this, people. If you're a Christian, what the Sister Nancy and Brother Rand, they're going to talk about 80% of the 180,000 Christians in and around Jerusalem and in Bethlehem, 80% of them are Palestinian blood. And they're also going to tell you that these Palestinian Christians there, and so-called Coptic Christians, other places, have got more of the original so-called lost tribes of Israel, blood in them, these stupid Ashkenazi Jews. With that, I will shut up. That's just setting the table. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Well, I think you put it in a nutshell. That's really true. And I think it's unfortunate that Americans only think in terms of Arabs being some kind of nasty word, that they're our enemy. No, we created them. We made them our enemy by destroying the Middle East. But if one goes back, and it was in a book that I've given recently to our leader here, Eddie, is about the genocide that was created among the Palestinians by the Jews and starting in early in 1948 and even before that. But the original people who were surviving in Palestine would probably go back to the biblical Jews, the shepherding Jews, are the ones that have a close connection to the original set of people who settled that area. But what people do not understand is these Palestinians who were burned out, massacred, run out, run into refugee camps, they were of a mixed religion. They were not only Muslims, they were Jews and many Catholics. And just like Eddie just mentioned, a large percentage of the Catholics that are Christians that live in Israel today are actually Palestinians. So we have to make up our mind about where we stand on these people. We need to understand that the settlers and many of these violent Jews who have settled Israel were never of the blood of Israel to begin with. They were converts from the Ashkenazis in Central Asia. But that's another little known. But they are the ones who actually are the largest majority of Jews in Israel. And at some point, I'm going to give my regular tar and feathering. It has to do with some Jews. Anyway, I'll go back to Rand on that. I just got my regular tar and feathering. Yeah, I do. Well, the tar and feathering this week is for that Judge Jack Smith. He may be a Jew using the name of Smith. This is something that the Jews very often do, and this is why it's very confusing for Gentiles, because they see what appears to be a typical name of a Gentile, and what they do change their names to cover up their history. And then I want to mention these Trump's backstabbers. I don't care what you think of Trump. Trump may be, maybe he's not exactly, he's certainly not perfect. I wouldn't be choosing him, but he's maybe the best man standing at the moment. But I want to mention these backstabbers who actually worked in the Trump administration. They were paid, I'm sure overpaid, paid too much. VP Pence, Vice President Pence is bad-mouthing Trump. I want him tarred and feathered. And, of course, I think this Mike Pompeo, he's been bad-mouthing Trump, but, of course, he had two positions within the administration. He was happy at the time. And this no-good warmongering John Bolton, what an evil, evil, warmongering man. And, of course, he was, for a short period of time, he was in Trump's administration. And then another backstabber is this Yankee New Yorker or New Jersey governor, Chris Christie. Now, I just had to bring them up. I it makes me sick. They may hate Trump, but they certainly liked the money they were making when they were in his administration. I know that was off on a different rabbit trail.
That's fine.
That's okay. Eddie's got us all going down rabbit trail. he's the king of the rabbit trail. So you got that right. But if I could add a little bit more about what we was talking about the Jews and the Palestinians, and these people that we on a regular basis on this show refer to as Jews, these people don't have any. They're not any descendants of the House of Judea. These people are imposters. You can go to, and I'm not going to try to give a long thing about this, but just go to Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, and it points them out. And also in those first couple of three chapters of Revelation, it talks about seven churches. I'm not going to name all those seven, but there was only two. It was Smyrna and Philadelphia that totally pleased Christ. Check it out. Read it for yourself. Only two of those seven churches totally pleased Christ. And why? Why was that? Because these were the only two that pointed out and named these imposters that are, there's no question about who they are when you read Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. And you can go back as far, they're really called Kenites. And you can go back into 1 Chronicles chapter 2, the very last verse 55, and it says, these are the Kenites that came of Hamath, the father of the house of Rechab. Well, the house of Judea had these people coming in and doing scribe work for them. They're keeping the books. They're making the records. And see, they were very deceivable. They just got in. And the next thing you know, they calling themselves Jews, and to be quite honest, these Kenites, these imposters, whatever you want to call them, the ones in 2:9 and 3:9, they really have give the true descendants of the house of Judea a bad rap, really. I mean, to really understand it, because you know when you just right. Jew can be wrapped around a whole lot of people. I mean, that's just a slang word, really. But to really nail these people, they don't have not one drop of Hebrew blood in them, because they are of, as it points out in the book of John, these imposters are of their father, the devil. And that's who's
exactly.
In control now. I hope that come out where people could kindly understand. But you just read it for yourself. Right. The first two or three chapters of Revelation, if you don't, First Chronicles chapter 2, the last verse, and that they're imposters, and that's the ones that control that piece of land over there, Israel now. And like y'all have just said, it's the Palestinians that would come a lot more closer to being a descendant of the true house of Judea, and they're treated worse than dogs over there. And all so-called Christians in this country, they don't think no more about those Kenite Israelis over there killing these Palestinians than they do killing. They would defend people killing a stray dog before they would these Israelis killing these Palestinians over there, you know.
That's for sure. Now, I'm going to get back on another topic. Over the years, I have written letters to white prisoners. And I was writing letters back in the 1980s, well, say middle of 1980s. And what I'm getting at, I had a big surprise. I recently did write to Yuri Call, and I think the listeners will remember the ambush that Yuri Call and his family were involved in 1983. Yuri Call did not shoot anyone. He was badly injured in the shootout. Now, his father was ultimately killed. His father was probably the one that was doing the shooting. But I had written to Yuri Call back in the 1983-85, and I wrote him a letter, not sure if I would be able to hear back from him. I got a letter I want to read to you.
Sister Nancy, hold that letter reading until we come back next to this break. Be right back, folks. Sister Nancy's going to read a wonderful letter.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Former President Trump's election case is now moving to the pretrial phase after he pleaded not guilty to felony charges.
Lawyers will be filing briefs leading up to the next hearing scheduled for August 28th, where a trial date is likely to be scheduled. Justice Department lawyers are pushing for the case to be tried quickly, while Trump's defense argues it could take years to review the government's evidence and gather their own. I'm Lisa Taylor.
A federal judge is giving former President Trump until Monday to respond to special counsel Jack Smith's protective order request. Smith's request, filed on Friday, was triggered by Trump's statement on Truth Social, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." This came after Trump's indictment on four counts related to alleged election interference. Smith's filing contended that Trump's public comments could negatively impact witnesses and the justice process's fairness. Russian officials and social media footage have confirmed that Ukrainian drones targeted a Russian tanker near Crimea in the Black Sea. This attack followed a previous strike on the same day by Ukraine on a major Russian port. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell appears to have removed any doubts that he'll be at the traditional Kentucky picnic today. McConnell attended a GOP breakfast this morning and received numerous standing ovations. He said at the breakfast, "This is my 28th fancy farm, and it's not my last." Concerns about the 81-year-old Kentucky senator's health arose earlier this week when he seemed to freeze in the middle of addressing reporters at the U.S. Capitol. A massive operation that authorities say made billions of spam calls has been hit with a major fine.
The largest robocall network that the United States has ever investigated is accused of calling over a half billion phone numbers during just 3 months in 2021, making more than 5 billion calls for auto warranty scams. The FCC has fined the operation a record $300 million for violating U.S. telecom laws. I'm Jeremy Scott.
This is USA News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRAVEL for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRAVEL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRAVEL for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
Smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, thank you so much for helping us. We're going to go right back to Sister Nancy. She has this wonderful letter she wants to read. I say it's wonderful. White's really sad. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Yes. Back in the 80s, I wrote to your call, and I found his address on the internet. I knew that he was someplace in Illinois in a prison, and I wasn't sure if he would get it or if he would even respond. Well, I wrote to him in April, and I told him, I didn't tell him who I was at the time because I was married at the time. I told him that I lived in Indiana and had written to him years and years previously, and you know, I was inquiring about how he was getting along. Well, he sent me a letter. I just got it about 2 days ago, and he says, "Dear Nancy, thank you for the card," and he puts the date of 4/11/2023, so it took him about 3 months to respond, but he says, "They don't allow us to get cards anymore, but they photocopy them, and I did get a photocopy. I do believe I remember the name Halen." Now, see, that was my married name. "But it has been a lifetime ago. I'm not familiar with the Blood River Radio program. I went to my 40-year mandatory parole hearing last July, and the parole commission ultimately ordered me to continue to expiration of my life plus 15-year sentence. The hearing itself was an ambush. U.S. attorney to U.S. marshals and family members of deceased marshals attended by video. It was essentially a resentencing. The hatred was so evident. The commission apparently ordered my co-defendant, Scott Fowle, to continue to the expiration of his sentence as well, virtually a reconstituted death penalty. The spirit that animates these people is ugly. There is neither justice nor morality left in this land. I will be journeying into court again, hopefully before too long. It's been a long trip and is far from over. Forgive my tardiness in writing. Take care. This is heartbreaking. This man has spent 40 years in prison already. He'll probably never be allowed to be free. And really, from every document that I have been able to read, Yuri Cole shot no one. He ended up very seriously wounded and was immediately transported to hospital. But I would suggest if anybody...
If you will, tell them, tell our listeners, give them the quick lowdown on exactly who Gordon Call was and who Yuri Call is, and exactly
what happened.
You know,
I think you might do a better job than I could. You're very familiar with it too, I think.
Well, but, I don't know. I'll give. Well, if you, it's whatever if you want me to, but I think you do great. Whatever you want, whatever you want.
Well, I'll make it very brief because I don't have the statistics in front of me. In 1983. Yuri Call's father was a tax protester.
In North Dakota.
He had been having community meetings. Of course, the feds were on his, they were watching him. And he had been in the World War II, had been an honored soldier. I mean,
Bronze Star.
He knew how to shoot. He knew how to shoot, and he was not. And he was armed at the time that he was confronted. What happened? They were warned. Yuri was in a different car from his mother and father, and this other man. I think he was also on. I don't think he ever shot anybody either. Anyway, Yuri was a young man with this other man called Scott Fowle. They were warned that they had been there'd been to a community meeting talking about this tax issue. Taxes were illegal. We know property taxes are totally illegal. So they were the government hates anybody that is going to buck the system of taxation. I think that's one of their main hatreds is anybody that would not want to pay their fair share, what they call their fair share. So anyway, there was an ambush in 1983. Yuri Call was seriously wounded. His father shot and probably killed two marshals. A couple of them were wounded. Gordon went on the run. That was the father. And I tell you, they made every effort. The Federals made every effort. They were going to kill him and burn him up. They probably wanted to burn him alive. They found the father, Gordon, hiding in a home that was a friend's home. And they ultimately shot him and burned the property down. This kind of reminds me of what's going to happen right here in my neighborhood. They want to burn a house down in my neighborhood that is contaminated with chemicals. At any rate, Yuri's probably been in prison since the day of this, when he got out of the hospital. So he's been in prison since 1983, 40 years ago. And from what I can gather, neither one of these men did any shooting. I think they were hiding. And were wounded, and it's just another, you know, it's another federal attack upon our rights. But if anybody wants to write, I have the address. I'm sure that Yuri Call, after all these years, I had lost contact with him. I wrote him back in the 80s, and he did remember my last name. He remembered apparently who I, you know, what my last name was at that time. But I'm sure that he would appreciate having a letter from anyone. And I'll give you his address. His name is Yuri Von Call. That's Y-O-R-I-E. The second name is Von, V-O-N, and last name is K-A-H-L. His number is 045-65-059. He's in the Federal Correctional Institute in Pekin, Post Office Box 5000, Pekin, Illinois, 61555. And just in passing, too, I got a very long letter from the Canadian prisoner, Leslie Borey. And Leslie Borey is, he wrote three long pages, both sides. They're trying to come up with some new threats against him, calling him, I mean, he's got like four or five different indictments, but now they want to call him that he's creating genocide, I guess, among the Jews. So I don't know. He's in a Canadian prison, and Monica's been keeping touch and trying to help him write some books. He's writing books in prison. So those are the two that I wanted to comment on.
Well, that's good. That's really good stuff. So by the way, Monica. I hope we will get her back probably maybe the 19th or the 26th maybe. But go ahead, Rand. Take over, fella.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking as Miss Nancy talked about these people sitting in jail, especially this young man, you know, thinking about the last time that he spoke to his father that day and before they run into that ambush. And, you know, since that day, he never saw his mother, or if he had any siblings, I'm not sure. He's never saw any of his family again. He's been locked away. These men like these, they're my heroes. You know, they have given the ultimate sacrifice by either dying or being locked away in prison. And, you know, it just makes me think about the deal with Trump. And, you know, and as we say, you know, regardless what you think about Trump, I mean, just think for a minute. Does anybody out there really think that Donald Trump can get a fair trial in Washington, D.C.? I mean, everybody up there hates him. They hate him. They hate him on both sides of the aisle. That's a leftist city. That's probably 100 times more leftist place than Charlottesville. And we personally know how leftist the control of the leftists in Charlottesville is total control. And, you know, just going back along those lines about what Dr. Hill was saying about that day, about, you know, that we were there for a very, very honorable cause.
Rand was there, buddy. Yeah. Rand was there.
Not only to defend that monument and that sacred ground there in the name of Robert E. Lee, but, you know, most people in the South, most men in the South that were raised here, born here, and have a family line that's been here a long time, most all of them would have had a bloodline kindred that fought in that war. It may be their fourth granddaddy back. It may be a great uncle. It could be a fifth granddaddy. I don't. But it's, chances are that you've got a bloodline that took part and participated in that struggle to have a free South. What more honorable thing could you do than to go and defend those honorable men that fought, picked up, left, and sacrificed everything they had for that cause?
But
I hear the music.
But
be right back with the music, folks. Got to take a quick break.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Dear Blood River Radio, we're going to go right back to the veteran of the Battle of Sarsfield, my brother, the Alabama Lone Wolf, Rand Owen. Go ahead, Rand.
Thank you, Eddie. But we were talking on during the break about James Fields. You know, that's somebody that, like Miss Nancy said, that we kind of overlooked sometimes. But that young man, he's going to be locked away the rest of his life. And, you know, the way that all was portrayed about him was totally wrong, and there's no doubt in my mind that that young man panicked that day. I mean, anybody that would have been there that day would have understood how he was probably frightened. He probably feared for his life. He was surrounded. Those leftists was all over the car. They had long guns, you know. And then, you know, the fact that that woman, Heather Heyer, died, you know, from what I've been able to pick up on and understand from that it was just a good a chance of her dying from her physical condition, not being in shape, so forth and so on, than she did actually from that car hitting her, you know. But it's just all portrayed different. But yeah, I'm proud I was there. I praise the Lord that I was there. I'm proud that I was able to play a small part and stand with that shield wall and hold those steps that day, along with men like Michael Tubbs and others, and some that have went away, that stood there right beside us. You know, that I'm not going to call any names. That just kind of, as Eddie says, kind of ran for the high ground, so to speak, after that, and some of them I still truly love. You know, I'm disappointed that they kind of left us, but you know, but I got to give them credit, especially two or three. I'm not going to call their names that day, but they stood there shoulder to shoulder with us, and some of them right down there beside Michael Tubbs, who was at the bottom of those steps, who was facing the brunt of a lot of stuff. But anyway, I'm proud to be there. And it's like we said the other day on this program, that after they called for that unlawful assembly, and more or less just the whole thing went crazy. Everything got unorganized for sure then. And then it was just every man for himself to try to get back to that vehicle. And if you'd had to walk back up that Market Street that day from that park to try to get back to that garage, you would certainly understand how James feels kind of panicked that day, and that's what led to what happened with him. So,
Rand, you know what really chokes me and irks me? When you want to have a small gathering or protest, it's probably true in almost every state and maybe every city. You've got to have a daggone permit now, but they never question. Does the media ever question if the Antifa and the BLM, if they've ever had asked for permission in these violent confrontations? No, they just allow it to happen. They don't worry about permits when somebody comes and wants to take and attack conservatives or nationalists. I want to mention just my
You know something else? They shut down. We talked about this, I think, last show. I live here in Memphis where you have two major, super major interstates, expressways, highway systems. Interstate 40 runs all the way from East Coast to the West Coast. We have Interstate 55 that goes from as far south, I think it's Highway 10 down in Louisiana. It goes, I don't know how far north it goes, I guess up into Minnesota. Well, the blacks come just a couple of years ago, completely, I think they've done it twice. I know they completely shut down I-40 bridge. There were people that were pregnant, having heart attacks, all kinds of emergencies. People, thousands and thousands of people go through Memphis on the I-40 bridge every year. They shut the whole damn bridge down. The NIGs did. And you know what? They didn't have a permit to shut that bridge down to stop east to west traffic. And what else? The city, like we mentioned this last week, the city sent in the county sent out air-conditioned buses because it was real hot, and they brought cold water for these feral black animals. They shut the whole damn thing down, and the stupid black cops, black police chief, marched with his fellow, with his bread. He marched with his soul sisters, his soul brothers. I mean, that's you got when you got you got the city run by a bunch of niggs.
What really gets me is when we look at these protests that take place overseas. We're so backward. We cannot create water cannons or tear gas or anything to stop these protesters. No, we can't use them. We don't use them. Where's the water cannons? Where's the tear gas? They only use that in an emergency against us. It's about us against us.
Yeah, and that's just like I read recently where I think Trump made like the 1,700 and something, anyway, close to 2,000 people now that's been arrested over the January 6th deal. I reckon how many sitting in jail that burned those cities down, that participated in all those riots and destruction, tearing up buildings, reckon how many of those people are sitting in jail, you know?
Any white person that tried to put the fire out.
That would be considered, wouldn't that be racist if you imprisoned them? I'm going to make a brief statement here about white heroes. That's our weekly thing. And I'm going to say all the prisoners of January the 6th and Charlottesville, and I want to include Leslie Borey and Yuri Call. White heroes.
Yes, you know, all the prisoners in Charlottesville. From Charlottesville.
You know, something that I wanted to say, and I know we're running out of time, but and I listened to this recently. You know, the exact things that Donald Trump said that they, you know, because they have arrested Donald Trump three times now, fixing to do it again in Georgia, for more or less things that he thought and the way he thinks, and things that come out of his mouth, things that he said. Well, you can go back and you can play at least a half an hour of Democrats, and you can go from Hillary Clinton to that Jew woman down in Florida and just on and on. That after the 2016 election, for months, said the same things over and over. Over again on all of these shows. I mean, my goodness, I had never heard all that until I played this thing that was showing all of them, because I don't watch that much mainstream news. But they said they were saying the exact same things that Trump said, you know, They even you can even go back to Bush and Gore. They said the same thing then. They said that Bush was an illegitimate president, just like they said Trump. They said, you know, if they hadn't stopped counting the votes, Gore would have won in Florida. But
just they had two more graveyards to go.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, I know everybody that listens to the show realizes, but it's the double standard, y'all, is off the charts. And like Dr. Hill said earlier, and we said before on this show, the mask is off. And I've said this before, and I believe it even more now. These leftists have taken control. They're in power. They're not going to turn it loose. And everybody talk about voting the next election. They've already stole one that we know for sure that they stole. Don't you think they're going to steal another one if they got away with it? These people aren't going to turn loose in power now. They smell the blood. They know they're almost home to what they're trying to accomplish by getting rid of people like us. And the only thing that's going to stop them is, like Brother Eddie has said, Saturday in and Saturday out on this program is power. We're going to have to stop them, whatever it takes. And we're not going to do it voting. We're not going to do it talking. We're not going to do it trying to pacify them and deal with them. Yeah, they're going to have to be dealt with, all right. But it's not going to be with words. I'll say that.
But you know, Rand, going back to these corrupted elections, you know, this, we can go back to the time of Lincoln and maybe even before, when voting was done at the end of a bayonet. And, of course, during Reconstruction, we can go back and say that this voting and the voting at the being forced to vote for certain people is kind of an American tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right.
Well, one final item before I mention this. You mentioned Jack Smith earlier, Sister Nancy. This is how bad it is, and I talked about this on the first hour. He even admitted, he's admitted in federal court that he lied to the judge, he lied in court, and what's happened? Nothing. It's like he said, I got caught chewing gum in court. I mean, nothing. He should be in prison right now. But back to you, Sister Nancy.
Well, I just it's another sad situation. I'm going to mention what our radio program was based on in the beginning, South Africa. I think I sent you all this horrible photograph of Malina singing to maybe 100,000 blacks in a South African arena, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. Okay, that's not considered bigoted. That's not considered racist. I see the handwriting on the wall, as they say, the blood in the river. I see it. I see it for America, and it really is worrisome. How are we going to control these people when they hate us, these black people, and these Jews hate us so much?
Not by voting, not by talking. People better wake up and realize that, you know, that what really is at stake here. And you know, you got to think sometimes, why come people don't become more active? You know, and you got to think that maybe people don't really want to dig in like some of us do and try to find out the truth, because they know if they ever really find it out and in the back of their subconscious somehow or another, they'll have to act. And, you know, as long as they can kind of just stay in that neutral zone, you know, they won't have to act. As long as they can have their income coming in, keep their air conditioner on in the summer and their heat on in the winter, you know, go to ball games, you know, kind of what you would say, enjoy life, you know. But what we're going to do, we're going to mess around and enjoy life up to the point that we're not going to leave much of a life for our children.
Well, y'all have done a fantastic job. I love both of you people. You know I do. That's no BS. And I really want to appreciate y'all coming on and take over this program tonight, because I'm still fuzzy-headed. And now, folks, we need to thank these two great people. We owe them a great deal. We owe Miss Lizzie a great deal for making this show run good. Now we're getting ready to transfer to the second hour. We're going to pick up Mark, Tommy, and the bitter eater himself. Be right back, folks.